That's also why I enjoy dating apps a lot. Like, no one has to take a really, really strong initiative. Biggest thing you have to do is to start the conversation, but not in clubs that people are really like pressing their butts on you. Welcome back to Berlin Midnight Meows. I'm Sponge Cake. I am guilty for not being able to update in a month or so. Recently, I am seeing a therapist, first time in my life. Yeah, I was talking about different struggles with him. And the most important thing is it took me so long to find this guy. I've been looking around since summer last year, but you know Berlin, it's almost impossible to find a therapist here. And I also tried to get my medical insurance pay for it, which makes it even harder. Maybe I'm being stingy because I'm already paying so much for that medical insurance. I feel like I need to make use of it. Actually, because of that, I'm more encouraged to get my body checked whenever I have any problems. Because every time when I'm feeling lazy, I think of how much I pay into this insurance every month. Then I'm like, yeah, better make the money worth it. I'm more like a person that is busy in my mind. And that's why I'm trying to find a way to relax because I also sometimes can't sleep because of this. The therapist basically just told me to relax. Sounds a bit like, I don't know if I need you to tell me about this. Obviously, I know I should relax my mind, but I find it really hard to do so. I've been reading online all the time about different neurodivergent stuff that I self-diagnose. I should have something, but I can't tell exactly now what it is. At the moment, I think I have a lot of ADHD traits, and I suspect this is also related to why I can't relax my mind. Always have to be busy with many things, which I joked about when I was co-hosting yesterday at a stand-up comedy show after a 1 year long break. I decided to do it again because I have a solo show / my first recording in April. So I was like, I have to practice a little bit because I also haven't done any show in a while. I procrastinate so much, really, that it even takes me some energy to shit and pee sometimes. That is just always very hard to move my butt from one place to another place when my body feels like shitting while my brain is not feeling like it. I tend to postpone it. I'm just very good at holding my shit. I would just hold till a point that my brain feels like, okay, now I'm free to do this, to waste 15 minutes on the toilet. When I arrive there, I've basically already missed the train. It's hard to call it back. And this classic, when you work or like when you do something that requires you to just focus, I need to listen to really loud music. That's why I like listening to anime intro songs because they're always very fast paced. It's pretty common for them to have heavy metal songs for the intro. So I was just telling the therapist about this and then he was like, that sounds like young people's common issue nowadays, which I also agree. I'm not a person that thinks you always need to label certain things. There is, of course, a chance that it's not ADHD. It's just like a normal, nowadays, how people generally have really short attention span thing. That's also fine by me. I basically just had a talk, a first initial consultation with him. I did find it helpful. That just kind of put more stress on this, I should chill. So I was also trying to relax when I co-hosted yesterday. And I actually like the result a lot, usually because I'm quite new and I am very bad at dealing with embarrassment. So I try always my best to avoid this. which sometimes gave me the opposite because I prepared too much and my head was always busy thinking about all these things I prepare and took away the energy that I should probably be spending on observing how the audience reacts and like interact with them without thinking too much. Just let things flow. It's okay to have some pauses. I like to manage a lot of things at once. In a sense, give me peace. That's why I'm also a video game person, that you have every single part of your brain occupied. Already after you do one thing, the game tells you what's the next thing to do, right? I don't think there is a game that gives you a quest to do nothing. Maybe that's a good idea for some meditation games. Yeah, I don't know. Is it common? Just like the therapist says? If not, let me know. Or, you know, you don't have to send me an email. You can join my live recording. I'm going to plug a little bit here that's happening on the 27th of April in Berlin, in a really cool cultural space in Berlin that they are non-profit and they do a lot of music, art, activities, programs there. I will definitely also interact with the audience and get some input from you. It's not just gonna be me, blah, blah, talking. So I hope I see some of you there. In this episode, I want to talk about marriage. For this, I don't just have my parents' experience. I also have my own experience because I was actually married once. Yeah, how to start? It's a long, really, really long story. But basically, that's how I came to Germany at the first place. I was married to a German guy some years ago. But then we actually... Oh my God, please. This cat. So the reason why she's so hyperactive now is that she doesn't like the food I'm giving her at the moment. This is very annoying because I've been changing her food many times to find out what's her brand. She's such a cunt, for real. Every time when I thought, oh, I found it, after some weeks, she will just get tired of it. It's really hard to predict what she wants. Sometimes she wants consistency, but sometimes she also wants something new. And she is kind of good at communicating. So whenever she's not happy, she just meows or like walk around in front of you, trying to rub against your legs, but just being annoying. Okay. Yeah, now she's like purring. Yeah, I was married once, divorced once here. It's a crazy process, so much work. How it started was that I was here for a working holiday, like a gap year some years ago. I'm not gonna tell which year. And then I got to know my ex on Tinder. No surprise. Yeah, I have to say we were quite in love. a bit cringy, yeah. Not because he's my ex, okay? It's also because in general, I am not used to saying this kind of things. In this sense, I'm very like that kind of Asian mom that, oh my God, I love you. Like that. And I think speaking in English is already making it a bit less cringe for me. Cantonese, that would give me like a heart attack. I remember as a kid when I was watching, you know, that kind of romance, teen dramas, that the main characters confess to each other and then they say, I like you or I love you. I was always like, oh, yeah, that's really intense. You know, I have to like clench everything, like my toes, everything, because it's just a lot. It's like so much for me. It's maybe probably sweet, but I would still try to, you know, just fast forward that part. Where did I stop? Oh, yeah. I was talking about how me and my ex got to know each other. At some point, my working holiday visa was expiring. We had to choose, like, we do a long distance relationship or I try to study or what to stay in Germany. Or, you know, that's a last resort. I think I was a bit ashamed talking about it because I also feel like, oh, am I relying on someone? Also, it sounds a bit like this kind of fake marriage, even though we weren't a fake couple. It still felt a bit like that, just not that authentic. And on top of this, I was never a marriage person. Just not my thing. Maybe it's influence from my parents. They're that kind of cliche, sad couples that hated each other the whole time. But then because of their ideal of having just a maintained marriage forever, they refused to separate. At some point in my high school time or so, or even a bit earlier, they did come to a point that even they, such conservative people, they were talking about getting a divorce all the time because they just yell at each other every day. Also some physical fights. I remember one time my dad just came home and they started yelling at each other as always. I was so used to it, so it's nothing special that they yell so loud. It's not just typical yelling, I'm telling you. It's like so loud that the whole floor could hear, like that amount, okay? And my dad just like flipped the dinner table. That was the time we were having dinner, so it was full of dishes. I still remember this very vividly. The plates and the bowls all broken, some not. There was a silence of 3 seconds or so because we were just too stunned. Everyone was so stunned. My mom started hitting him and such, and then he also hit her back, something like that. Yeah, so I always found the marriage idea a bit of a lie, especially when it's just a legal bonding that holds you together. But at the same time, I also was quite traditional. I would say it's just kid that you haven't been exposed to too many stories or like different people's experiences. So in my mind, I also thought if you want to get married, then you should try to stay in this marriage as long as possible. Otherwise, it's a failure. So I also felt like, oh, if I get married, I should also be a bit more serious and not just getting pushed by this visa urge. I wasn't able to take this marriage very easy, even though deep down, I don't believe in this. After many talks with my ex, I was very surprised, even though it might not be surprising to you. His family, everyone, like not just his parents, but also his grandparents, they all supported the idea so much, even though they all knew we weren't together for that long. I really have to underline, I wasn't a person that was dreaming of a perfect marriage and also think marriage itself is very romantic. That's why I think it made it a bit easier for me to just make this decision that, okay, we need it simply. And it's an administrative process anyways. And there are many things you can enable through this process. In general, I'm also a very curious person. I want to try many things. I'm also very experience-centric. I always believe you need to experience it or at least experience something that can be compared to another experience you haven't really fully experienced to be able to judge. Even though I was more like against marriage, it could be interesting to just experience it and see if I like it or not. I'm also bi-curious. Is that how you call it? Because I actually didn't know. I just knew that I was always curious. But then when I talked to a Hong Kong guy some months ago that I was asking him if he wanted to help me grow my social media accounts, and like he just casually mentioned this word, I'm like, ah, okay, yeah, that's how you call it. Right. I was also interested in having a relationship with women, and I actually tried a little bit on dating apps after I broke up with my ex for a while, but I just didn't find I swipe a lot of girls. My taste in humans has always been very consistent, actually. I always like this a bit hipster type, the types that are into culture, online cultures. Bonus will be like a bit weeb, also games. Like this has been there all the time. So I was also looking for this kind of girls. I did find some For sure, in their profiles, they just didn't like me back. The only affection I felt from women was in clubs when I was partying. Sometimes there would be some women approaching me, but they weren't my type. Because in general, I don't like people that are too proactive. So annoying, right? That's also why I enjoy dating apps a lot. Like, no one has to take a really, really strong initiative. Biggest thing you have to do is to start the conversation, but not in clubs that people are really like pressing their butts on you or like just coming very close and then the whole face expression and such. I wanted a bit more calm. Even though there was a time I did go clubbing a lot, I was never able to develop any romantic feelings there in that setting. It's just too many things going on. Everyone looks very desperate, either very desperate or this very strong I don't give a fuck player vibe that I'm also fine with. But again, if I just need a fuckmate for one night, I don't need to find people there. I can go online where I have way more options, not just limited to that one single club. Coming back to the marriage things, I was like, oh, don't care. Let's just do it and not think too much. We were also quite young, so YOLO. Even though there were a lot of downs in the relationship with my ex, there were also a lot of ups. There's one quality that I cannot let go in my relationship. They need to be a bit introverted. Oh, no, like, let's put it like this. They need to game and watch anime. I think this, to me, is 10 times more important than their income and even their look. Just the vibe you cannot get rid of. Like someone who has been online a lot, consuming weird stuff and some subculture shit, some niche shit. I'm a person like this. As a kid, I did a lot of weird shit there. I was so immersed in a lot of anime forums and consume a lot of fan fictions, like could be the manga or the novels they wrote. I also wrote some like novels for some anime that I like. That made me a bit weird. Now a bit more accepted, I think, if you're a weeb. But like 10, 15 years ago, oh no, it's more like 20 years ago, shit. That was so fucking weird. So I was always doing it in secret. I also had to share the computer with the whole family. I didn't have that much privacy. But that was something I never told my friends, even my really close friends, because I always found it a bit shameful. And that's why now, for me, like when you have a partner or more partners, I don't care how many you have, it's most important to be 100% open with what you like. Your hobby, your interests, your tastes, everything, like your thoughts, because that's literally day-to-day life. Income, as long as I don't spend the other person's money and look at their bank account, I don't feel it every day if they are being very old school, like for example, finding things like anime, K-pop, like so childish or like something they completely don't understand. I could feel it immediately. I would get very offended. Honestly, I would just get really offended. With my ex, that's something we connected on. He also introduced some games to me that actually I enjoy. We rarely game together because he was a gamer, like real for real gamer. When I say I'm a gamer, I'm more like an imposter. I simply game. I don't think I am qualified for being a gamer. In those games where you can play the rank mode, actually, that's something apps like Duolingo adopted. Actually, many other apps, I guess. When we were together, I was bronze and also like bronze 5, not even like close to silver. He was more like diamond, platinum, that level. So there was a big gap between us. And that showed not just in one game, because he was just good at every kind of games. That's something I can shit on him on everything, but not this. He's really good at this, and I could also feel he was not just bragging because he has been gaming for so long and nonstop. He was not studying, he was just gaming most of the time in his life. He understood the design of different kinds of games, like whatever genre he had already like some experience with, or actually a lot of experience with, he always could tell what's coming next. That's why every time when we unpack a new game, he could predict very well, like the story games. Oh my God, like he already knew. And also even where the game designers hide the, you know, this kind of bonus points that you have to get a little bit further or like take a detour to get them. He always knew where they are. So that made him pretty cool. And I think that's why he was always dating gamer girls. I think I was one of the worst one. We weren't that typical married couples anyways. We both never wanted to have a kid. And I think when you already eliminated this option, you eliminated also a path, like a predicted path. That makes the development less linear as well for a lot of couples. Okay, here, you know, I said I don't want, but I'm not being judgy here. I totally understand if you prefer having a kid and also that kind of linear development. I'm just sharing my point of view here, what kind of impact it could have when you have that kind of goals. If you wish to have kids, that's also what I've heard from many people. They just plan everything towards this goal. Many things comes along with it, like even what kind of jobs you do, even how much time you spend on gaming, honestly, that also comes together because you probably want to save some money and then develop a certain kind of stability. So yeah, I guess for most people, they want their kids to grow up in a rather financially stable environment. Some might not. Of course, not everyone who want to have kids have the same path, but it kind of limits a little bit. It gives you a framework a little bit. But just saying, we didn't have that kind of framework. Everything was very free flow. I was also a freelancer at that time, so things were always very flexible. He also didn't really have the urge to, let's say, have a career or so. We did have a lot of differences, that's true. But I still have to defend myself or the marriage a little bit. Like how we broke wasn't just because of all these life choices or differences in our goals, but also like at some point he was diagnosed with a pretty serious chronic illness that really completely ruined the relationship. How to say it? We already had some problems, but that was really the last straw, a very big, heavy last straw that really destroyed a lot of things and added a lot of pressure mentally on both of us. Oh God, I messed up the timeline completely. I'm really bad at telling things chronologically. My thoughts just always get distracted by some notes I want to add in the meantime. Actually, we flew together to Hong Kong and get married there. His parents and sibling, his brother also came, and then we stayed a year in Hong Kong. He really struggled to adapt to the life in Hong Kong because he just finished his Ausbildung. It's like a diploma thing. How do you call that? It's like some kind of vocational training. It's a system Germany has for very specific career training. We, in the end, decided to go back to Germany. Then he could find a job. I was a freelancer anyway, so I was more flexible in this sense. And I've already lived in Germany before. We just came back together. And that there came his diagnosis. And then basically life really went down completely. It was like complete darkness for many months. At a certain point, we decided to get a divorce. From my experience, of course, there's a lot you could predict before you get married. And you should also, yeah, in a sense, take marriage seriously because it's going to affect every aspect of your life. You may, for pragmatic reasons, take it more seriously so you can avoid certain consequences and minimize the costs. But then exactly because it's such a big life decision, it's hard to predict what comes out from it. On one hand, of course, many people told me you were just being immature and made the wrong decision. But I still say I don't regret getting married itself. I think I still learn a lot from it. It's almost inevitable that there's a bit impulse involved in this decision. Even if we take this very traditional idea of marriage, that you marry someone you really love, love is emotional itself, right? The only completely rational scenario is actually that kind of political marriage or like a business marriage that you marry someone that you've pretty much assessed their profile, like their income, their goals, their interest, and their family planning, their preference, everything. And you really put all these data into an Excel sheet and see how much they are matching yours. So I think the most rational marriage decision comes from the most emotionless relationship, like completely pragmatic. And I actually think that's not bad, as long as that's your wish. I actually know a few people like this, and I admire them for how goal-oriented they are. And that also means they have to sacrifice something. They have to make compromises depending on how many people that are, you know, fitting or like fulfilling their requirements are available in the market. I completely respect that. Otherwise, I think as long as you are marrying someone you're in love with, there is always some uncertainty there. Who knows? Even if you marry with like a perfect plan, people change. Humans really change. When I was a teenager, being very edgy and stuff, I used to think whoever changes in the relationship or even as a person is the bad person. Good person should always stick to their promises and what they say all the time and not change their whole lives. So I thought consistency was a virtue for humans. But gradually, I also have to say it's very natural and it's nothing bad for people to change. Even if the person doesn't change, the environment change, you have to change to adapt to the changing environment. I don't think it's anyone's fault that one day they don't like this person anymore, they don't feel the love anymore. It's just how it is. And honestly, it's a survival skill. Humans evolve to survive till today. Even animals change. Come on, like if you compare the dogs nowadays to the dogs 1,000 years ago, they look completely different. Come on. Privately, I also complain a lot about my ex. We both suffer a lot. I was just happy that we lived in the 21st century, that we could separate. We were also open enough to separate, because I know a lot of people wouldn't, because they don't want to admit something is wrong in their relationship and they cannot fix it anymore. It takes courage to separate. Yeah, on one hand, I'm like defending myself a little bit, but on the other hand, I just hate when people try to simplify and summarize this whole complicated and complex journey I had with my ex with things like, oh, you were just too young, you were being immature, I knew that's gonna fall. I'm like, yeah, easy for you to say this because it's 50-50. A marriage either lasts or falls apart. What else can it be? Come on. I also know a lot of people that got married at my age and they last till now, at least. Who knows if they can last for another 20, 30 years. Those people who made this kind of comments, a lot of them also never got married. I mean, I'm kind of young for like married people, but I'm just saying those people just completely underestimated the complexity. Again, I did have a very dramatic experience with like everything going on. I just felt always very discriminated all the time because of my age. And now I'm not that young anymore. I'm not 21, but I'm also not 41. People still judge me a lot when I say certain things. I did have a lot of supporting evidence or experiences and knowledge behind them that I'm not just saying this out of the blue. People judge others a lot by their age. That's also kind of normal, but I just wish there is a little bit of reservation on, okay, they just talk like a regular old person, but there is a but that I'm missing all the time from people's judgment. In the end, this feeling of sounding old is not entirely an age thing. And same for younger people. I've met a lot of really mature young people that they are doing a lot, they're achieving a lot, they think seriously about their life decisions and oftentimes make way better informed decisions than people that are 30, 40 years older than them. It's very unfair to just say, oh, you're young, or like, you know, Gen Z. I'm also quite annoyed when I heard from, like, again, older people saying, oh, Gen Z, they're lazy and like not giving a fuck to others. Everyone is very selfish and self-centric, that kind of things. I'm not Gen Z, by the way, disclaimer, but I don't think they are necessarily more lazy. And actually, that doesn't even make sense because Gen Z, they are younger people. Most of them, they're interns and stuff. That's an unchanged fact since forever that older people exploit younger laborers. Many of them are doing a lot of unpaid jobs that in old people's eyes, that's nothing. You know, you made some social media posts, you make some TikTok videos. What does that mean? That's not even work. I actually know more lazy old people, so-called quote-unquote lazy old people, already very senior position. They, of course, have to make big decisions, but they don't have to do the fucking work. And they are very well paid. They all have property. They have a lot of cars. I know it's because of the time, but also just saying they are more lazy because they can be lazy. It's so unfair to just shit on young people like this. There are always different people in different generations. It's more like a distribution thing. Speaking of divorce, there's also a lot of stigmatization around this. For example, the parents are being selfish. They tear the family apart. And what about their kids? The kids don't want to lose any of their parents. That's really not true. My parents didn't get divorced. I was the kid that always wanted them to get a divorce because it was so much pain to live with such an unhappy couple. As I said, they fight all the time and their bad relationship also has a direct impact on me and the kids in general. Talking to them, it's always like two problems together, you know? Like when we talk, it's not just them hating each other. Also, me separately in parallel also have a lot of issues with my mom and my dad. When three things combine together, it's very triggering and traumatizing till now. I could have a better conversation when I'm only talking to one of them. I'm just giving you the most trivial example how I feel this. When they're together, they would start a fight between them. And then at some point, maybe one of them start a fight with me, but the other person would always join. They wouldn't just sit there and watch. They always join. It escalates everything. Actually, I've pretty much cut my contact with them some months ago. I'm still digesting this because I do feel a bit guilty. It's the culture that you shouldn't do this. Not like I miss them or what. But I feel like responsibility-wise, I do feel bad about it. But at the same time, I'm experiencing the crazy amount of peace in my life that I don't have to worry. When am I gonna have my next fights with them? It's like five more problems. Me and my mom, one. Me and my dad, two. My mom and my dad, three. Both of them against me, four. So it's just less terrible combinations. So it's really not true that all kids don't want their parents to separate. A good relationship is probably what the kids want, but not a maintained marriage. That's two different things. They could also have parents that are not married, but then are in a good relationship. That's nice. It's not always linked to a fucking marriage, come on. My mom also said a lot about like other people who got divorced, and it's always something bad to her. At some point, she even told me I should avoid marrying a man who is from a single family, especially a single mom. That's very bad. They are gonna have such a strong bonding with their mom that they're gonna ignore you and deprioritize you. When she heard one of my friend's husband was actually raised by a single mom, she completely looked down on them. she also made comments like, that's not gonna last. He's gonna be a very shitty husband because he grew up in an incomplete family that makes him a bit mentally ill. And guess what? My current partner also came from a divorced family and even a patchwork family. I even think this experience became an asset for him to understand different family forms better. The world is, of course, full of this kind of one woman, one man, and kids, this kind of family form. That's why many people who grew up in this kind of stereotypical families or currently maintaining it try to always say something bad about the other alternatives. But are the other alternatives really the worst alternatives? No, it's nothing about better or worse. It's just alternatives. In my partner's case, his patchwork family has been working well. Like, I mean, it's hard to tell what is well or bad, right? Like for a family. But at least compared to my family, who has a more like traditionally accepted form, they have way less fights. Not like mine, always violence, always yelling, always a lot of, yeah, just like hate everywhere. I think that experience really helped my partner understand me better, way better. When I talked about, for example, how much I hate my parents and I always wanted them to separate, many people would find me weird, evil, or just completely unreasonable. If you understand the context, you might not agree with me, but this feelings is actually very understandable. And it's not always just out of impulse or like because I'm young or what. It's just a very different environment compared to some other people that, yeah, just have different experiences. So all these norms of like parents, they must love each other, like kids must love their parents. And that's also how their bodies and their brains are made. If you were given birth by this person, you must love her. Things like that. I think everything is discussable. It's not always like this. It really depends how it unfolds. It's a development, basically. There was also a time that I had very good relationship with my mom. Like, I think before 10 years old. That was also the time my parents had better relationship as well. That was the time that I would enjoy staying with her, doing things with her. But it just changed over time. So it's not always like, again, like an equation. Is it really bad? Like after people get divorced? It's also not true. Of course, some people's life quality might have gone down. But also imagine if the relationship was really bad, like so bad that you need to consider a divorce and you don't manage to do it for whatever reason and you are forced to stay in that really sad marriage, how would that be? My partner's case, his parents still meet, talk, have gatherings after they get divorced, even with the new wife and such. I guess it isn't always like happy like that. Like, oh, like everyone is loving this so much. At least it's working. It's working out. It's not like every couple after they separate, they're gonna hate each other so much. Even me and my ex, I don't think I like him now, but then I don't hate him. It's just like the past. I also expect the same from him. If he needs some help and I can offer that, I would also help him. That's not a problem. It took some time for me, for us to get here. Still, it's not always like how the TV drama is like. There are a lot of things we could challenge in this kind of traditional family values that I don't think we are, even though we're already in 2024, the majority of people, yeah, at least in the current society I'm living in, I don't think people are comfortable with talking about different alternatives. I remember watching a documentary about women who regretted giving birth. And of course, they faced a lot of criticism, like, oh, if you didn't want this, why did you even decide to have a kid? How would your kids think? How can you tell this cruel truth? How can you be so cruel as a mom? Don't you know this is gonna hurt your kid a lot? Or like, as a mom, you should give up everything for your kid and not like being so selfish. I always find this very suffocating, even though I don't plan to be a mom. I think a woman, after they give birth, they should still be able to be a woman, a human, and themselves. Being a mom doesn't mean like you always every day have to celebrate being a mom, right? You could also just be a mom, be a responsible person, responsible parent, but then still have this realization of, I actually don't really enjoy this so much, but I'm trying my best to do everything I should do. This feeling of this is a taboo, and in general, we shouldn't be talking about this kind of negative feelings when it comes to something so holy. You know, it's about motherhood. We should all embrace it. We should always love it. It's worldwide, I believe, because motherhood is just completely like it's glorified. A lot of times people have overdone it a little bit. It gives everyone a lot of pressure. And I think that should be the current stage of feminism. We shouldn't be just talking about voting and shit anymore, or like being able to get naked. You don't have to free your nipples every day, but that's something you have to deal with every day, being a mom, the mentality behind it, and like how should you position yourself in like all this kind of even like festivity, this kind of parents group where everyone has this super, super high positive energy, like talking about how great being a mom is, but there should be like an exit for the feelings, the true feelings people have. If there's not even a space for discussing this, that's bad. It's the same as the Israel-Palestine situation in Germany. You're just not supposed to talk about it at all. That sounds very hypocritical because the West has been talking a lot about freedom of speech and everyone gets to embrace their true self, let people live their own life, like all these kind of talks. Where are they now when it comes to this kind of so-called more sensitive topics? Sometimes I also find it a bit like a Disney movie, not now, like I'm talking about like some decades ago, that kind of Disney movies that I also joke a lot with my friend. There is this Disney imagination of family forms, relationships, also parenting, a lot of things, like everything has to be a bit like a fairy tale, that it's so beautiful, it's so lovely, it's so romantic, everything. But real lives aren't like this. I'm sorry, that's just not how it is. There is a tendency in a lot of discussions here that it's more about lying to yourself than actually talking about what happened. Let's just be honest. At least for people like me who like to talk openly about all kinds of stuff, I am trying to create a space for it. That's why suddenly I make it so big. Yeah, okay, now it's getting a little bit cringy. I wanted to say that's also one of the reasons I started this podcast. So I have a bit more room to talk about the context of some inappropriate jokes or some really unpopular opinions I've put out there. A stand-up comedy format is like, it's a good format, but it cannot do everything. I put a lot of thoughts here, not always begging for agreements. You could also disagree with me, but I'm just putting one more piece of information or perspective there in case you haven't thought about this. Just sharing this with you, take it or leave it. It's as simple as this. So I think that's all of this episode. I want to plug again that I'm going to have my first live recording on the 27th of April. If you're in Berlin, you're coming to Berlin, join me there. I am sure we will have a lot of fun. So yeah, have a good evening as usual, and I talk to you next time. Bye for now.